Okay. How are you doing over there, Mr. Reggie Roo? I know I do that. I know I always give a nickname to somebody with a Roo after their name for some reason. I don't know where a Roo came from, but I do that. I don't know any Aroos. All right, Reggie Roo, are you ready to go? Okay, I am. All right, let's go. I'll give you the three S's. You give me the music. I'll give you a podcast number 426. Put it in the book, okay? Here we go. Star, smile, strong. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Also, rate it. But most importantly, get out there and tell people about it. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Of course, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, click on the prompt for this podcast, and then be continuously entertained for as long as you can keep scrolling down and loading more, because there are a plethora of podcasts just waiting to inform and entertain you, both current and past. We've been doing this for a while, every week. This is episode 426. Yeah, how about that? So, interesting week that we have had since we've spoken. I'm not going to get into the politics of everything. Of course, that's been on the front burner between the assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life, and then followed up almost immediately, a couple of days later, by the Republican National Convention. So it's been a couple of weeks here, and I've talked a little bit about politics, but as I said, I don't like to get too much involved because of the fact that it is such a divisive issue, and a goal of this podcast is to provide some distraction, some escape from some of the rhetoric and the headlines. Although I must say, over the last couple of weeks since that disastrous debate, I think the Democrats are in a very difficult situation because they basically are dealing with an elderly relative who won't give up the car keys. Now, by the time this airs, maybe he will have given up the car keys. But as it stands right now, Joe Biden is entrenched and hunkering down and is refusing to step down as the Democratic nominee, despite almost every indication that if he stays in, this could be a potential landslide victory, certainly electoral college-wise. I've seen some estimates on the low end. All you need is 270 votes, and Trump can easily get 303, if not more. So, anyway, just a little aside, it's going to get interesting as this election continues to get closer on November 5th. But as I said, I like to provide a little counter programming, if you will. You get enough of that out there in the real world. So welcome to the fantasy world of the Elton Jim podcast. I'll tell you, what I want to talk about today wasn't any fantasy. Living here in the Chicago area, born and raised in Chicago proper, I think that I've got enough experience to say that for most of my lifetime over the last several decades, whenever the news, TV news has come on, and they break in to either the newscast itself or they break into regular programming on a station for weather-related information. Most of the time, it's a severe storm, thunderstorm warning, severe sun thunderstorm warning. In the Midwest here, tornado warnings. Those are the ones that really cause the most panic because of their destructive force. But living in Chicago for many, many years, and in the Chicago area, whenever there has been a tornado watch, I mean, yes, we all every place around the country, around the world, is subject to severe thunderstorms and rainstorms, no question about that. And even some, you know, winds, especially when it's hot and humid. Those are ingredients and the recipe for severe weather. And Chicago certainly has that in the summer, combined with the snow in the winter. But for the most part, in my experience living in this area, whenever there's been, over the years, whenever there's been a tornado watch or a tornado warning, certainly the television stations and radio stations cover a wide range. And so they are providing, as they should be, information for people all over the state of Illinois. And sometimes, in some cases, the radio stations, depending on their the strength of their signal, they can cover 37 states. I believe WGN Radio, 50,000 watt station, at certain times in the evening, especially when there is less traffic, if you will, with the airwaves, I believe WGN can reach 37 states out of the 50. Well, I'm certainly, well, you know, Hawaii would really be a stretch, but at least the 48, aside from Hawaii and Alaska, which are somewhat remote, but 37, that's not bad. And so I can understand why a radio station, or like I said, a television station, especially some TV stations, local stations now have reach between cable or satellite to go to other cities. And so, but usually within the state, at least, you know, it's there's a tornado warning. And just through experience of living in this area, in the Chicagoland area, Chicago and its surrounding suburbs for many decades, for the most part, whenever those tornado warnings were given, it really didn't spark much concern for those of us near and in the city, because a tornado never really came toward a more populous area. They always mentioned these counties, not even towns or cities, but counties that, you know, in this area, for the most part, if you live in the Chicago metropolitan area, the counties you are most familiar with are obviously Cook County and DuPage County and Lake County. And if you really want to go up north, McHenry County. And then there's Kane County and Boone County. But those are the ones that come to mind that are in somewhat of a relative area that would be most recognizable to people who live in the city in terms of where you might travel on a regular basis. For the most part, when there were always the break-ins during programming or the news itself on television, talking about tornado warnings or tornado watches, it was always in remote, downstate, rural areas where the tornadoes were most prevalent. And certainly that's the case for the most part. I mean, even though Chicago and Illinois is considered obviously the Midwest, it seems that the tornado alley, if you will, which was a phrase that has been used for areas of the country where tornadoes are frequently touching down. It's in the Midwest, but it seems to be a little more to the south and west of Illinois. It's the central United States, certainly. But, you know, it's not so much that in Chicago, you know, Tornado Alley or Tornado Valley or something where there is severe weather. It's usually, like I said, really kind of in the very middle. Chicago in Illinois isn't in the middle, even though it's still considered Midwest. It's a little closer to the east than it is the west. So the Tornado Alley, the Tornado Belt, whatever you want to call it, is more associated with the Great Plains areas. Texas, Oklahoma, the Dakotas, Iowa, Nebraska. Now, Iowa, once again, Nebraska, close to Illinois, but Illinois has had its moments, it's had its share of tornadoes, but not as prevalent and not as severe as some of the areas that I talked about. And once again, this is not, a complete, Tornado Alley. I mean, tornadoes can happen anywhere, right? Where all the weather conditions are right. But a lot of times, as I said, it's been mostly associated with kind of Oklahoma, Kansas. I mean, don't forget, Wizard of Oz, right? Where was Dorothy wanting to go home to? When she said there's no place like home, where was Dorothy wanting to go when there was no place like home? Know the answer? Sure you do. Kansas. So that's my point. Now, once again, with as time has gone on, perhaps that term Tornado Alley may be extended. As I said, Illinois has not been without its share of tornadoes. In fact, about, 34 years ago now, in 1990, in a suburb of Chicago, far away, 30, 40 miles, 50 miles away from Chicago, but still in a town called Plainfield, it was, I think, a Category 4. It was a disastrous tornado. Did massive destruction. And I was just doing some research, and in fact, in 1967, I was a little too young to understand that one, but apparently there was one also in the south suburbs around Palos and Oak Lawn and some of the southern parts of Chicago in 1967, a fairly major tornado. But for the most part, when tornadoes have come to Illinois, they have been mostly down south and in rural areas. And so whenever we've seen the boop, 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 boop tornado warning come on the television, we've listened and looked at it with some interest, but it didn't really seem to affect us or really cause us any panic, like we were in the line of a hurricane, of a tornado. And it's been that way for most of my life. You see the tornado warnings, and I even sometimes, when I was a brash youngster, I'd say, why are they even bothering to tell us here in Chicago about a tornado warning? There are no tornadoes in Chicago. I remember, saying that when I was an angry young man. Still angry, just not as young. But But you know, I remember saying, "What is that?" Then, of course, you know, I get a little more experience and a little more knowledge, and realize, you know, okay, Jim, the world doesn't revolve around you, and not everybody just lives in Chicago, and the television stations and radio stations do serve a much wider area than just the few miles that where you live around that you're a little worried about. So, get over yourself. But yeah, I just remember saying, "Well, geez, I mean." Okay, there's a tornado warning, and then they say the towns or the counties, and never heard of them. They were down south. They were in rural areas, and they weren't really in the area where of any area that I was familiar with in terms of regular travel or regular visits or anything like that. I suppose that's a little of an arrogant viewpoint, but let's also be true. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, when they say, well, there's going to be 45 inches of snow today in Denver, and you're living in Chicago, or if you're living in California, and they say, well, there's going to be 45 inches today in Denver, do you really get all that concerned? No. I mean, you know, let's face it. We're all a little selfish. I mean, unless you're traveling there, or unless you have friends or relatives that live there. But, you know, you hear about these extreme weather occurrences in other areas not yours, and you either say, oh, thank God, I'm not there right now, or you say, oh, wow, that must be crazy, and then you go on with your business. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we had this huge, and it's still going on to some extent, this crazy heat wave, especially on the West Coast, where there were triple-digit temperatures in many cities in the West. Las Vegas, which, of course, I understand is a desert, and it gets hot there in the summer, and it will get into the triple digits, and as well as in Phoenix. But this was even more oppressive, 118 in Vegas, 115 in Phoenix. I mean, I've been there in Phoenix and in Vegas when it's been over 100, but another 20 degrees, that's a lot. That gets way past, oh, it's a dry heat. But I mean, okay, so I saw that on the news. I said, wow, that must be oppressive. That must be terrible. And then I went on with my business. I went on eating my ham sandwich. I mean, right, you know. Of course, these weather warnings don't really strike us down or get our real attention unless we are in their line of fire. I know that in the winter here especially, when they say, oh, here, you know, there's an oncoming, blizzard or snowstorm, and you see that picture on the satellite, and they move that the satellite progression as to where it will be in 2 hours and 5 hours, and you see it's coming right smack dab where you live, and you go, ugh. 24 hours from now, I'm looking at my grass and my lawn and my yard, and there's no snow. And according to those pictures, which probably don't lie, in 24 hours or 12 hours from now, there's going to be 12 inches of snow there. And I must say, I think I've spoken about this before in the past, the technology that we have now in terms of weather prediction is just mind-boggling. They've really gotten to a point now where they can almost pinpoint these things by the hour and the second. I was telling you a few podcasts ago how I was just amazed to see during that eclipse earlier this year that they not only did they predict the eclipse in general to like the second that it was happening, but they were predicting it within seconds of when it would be happening in different cities along the path. There's no question that weather forecasting was informed guessing for many years. There were instruments, there were technological things that were there to measure the atmosphere, but today the technology, thanks to computers, has really elevated the entire weather forecasting industry, and it's now it used to be, I would think, as I said, informed guessing. It wasn't a crapshoot, but a lot of times it was hit or miss. But now, they really got a handle on things. And so I have to say, what I have observed over the majority of my lifetime living in this area, as I said before, was, you know, okay, you see the tornado warning. I would actually, once again, I would get a little perturbed because, you know, in today's world, because of the technology, especially on television, because of the visual capabilities now that the weather forecasting technology has, television loves to show weather-related stories and events, and give it prime time coverage and even cutting into programming and going on for hours, because let's face it, everybody is affected by weather, and weather can be very dangerous. I've said many times, Mother Nature's in charge of this little marble that we live on. Let's not get any misconceptions about that. As I said to you, that term "save the planet," horrible phrase, wrong phrase, wrong directive, if you will, coming from the wrong perspective. Human beings cannot save the planet. Human beings can save their existence, but the planet's going to be just fine. The planet has been around for billions of years, with or without humans on it, and it knows how to adapt, and it controls things. We act like we're in charge. Oh, we can save the planet. No, we don't save anything. The planet and nature is in control here, folks. And tornadoes and any kind of serious or hurricanes, floods, things like that, wildfires, nature on a regular basis reminds us who's really in charge. It's very arrogant for us to say that we can save the planet. We can save our species. Yeah, I believe that by what we do. But the planet will be fine. The planet will be fine with or without us. It doesn't really care if we're here. That's how strong the planet is. The planet could wipe us out anytime it wants to. Can easily do that. It does it on a regular basis all around the world with earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. So for us to be arrogant to say we can save the planet, I like the Hard Rock Cafe. They make a great Cobb salad, don't get me wrong, and they make a good cheeseburger. Yeah, I've gone to many of them around the world. But saving the planet, they kind of coined that phrase and use that in a lot of their marketing. No. It may have sounded good, but when you start to tear it apart, it's very arrogant from a human side that we somehow have domain over nature. Nature has domain over us. And so what's been interesting over the last couple of years, as I said, for the majority of my life, I have really not given too much attention to the tornado watch or the tornado warning, because it really hasn't affected where I'm at. As I said many times, I've actually been upset because it's interrupted my programming. Okay. Can't you go back to regular programming? We know it's going. We know it's coming. The people in that area know. But once again, out of sight, out of mind. It's not going to hit in Chicago. So yeah, whether that's an arrogant urban attitude or not, I plead guilty. But that's the way I felt. Notice I said that in the past tense. The way I felt. Now, once again, I don't want to get political here in terms of the whole idea of climate change, because for some reason, climate change, which should be a scientific issue, like everything else in this world today, has become a political issue. The idea that the climate is changing on the globe appears to be backed up by reliable data. Now, where the political argument comes in is how or why is it changing? And that's where the political murkiness gets in, because then we get into fossil fuels over non-fossil fuels and, electric cars and windmills and emissions and gas from planes and all this stuff and in human behavior and the human behavior taking the toll on the planet. There's no question that human behavior contributes to everything on the planet, just like every species that's on the planet contributes. Now, we have a bigger footprint here. We've got 8 billion of us on this planet. For the first time in the planet's history, we're living longer, and we're not cutting down on what makes babies, if you know what I mean. So we've got more people on the planet. Everybody's talking about human behavior affecting things. Of course, recycling, flying, electric cars. I get that. Every little bit counts. I don't deny that. But on the political issue, I'm not on one side or the other. I believe that nature is responding, as it has done. The Earth is responding to the realities of the planet like it has done for eons. We know that we had an ice age. We know that we've had extreme weather as the planet has reacted to or adapted to different occurrences. Now, we are looking to, and there's some people on the far left who are looking to say, well, we are contributing to this climate control, this climate change, and we can stop it. That's naive, I believe. Also, on the other side, on the right, they're saying that's all poppycock, it's all propaganda, and there's no need to listen to it of anything. And the climate isn't changing. So there's like almost a very strong denial on that other side. Once again, not surprising, guess where good old Elton Jim falls? Right in that gray area. I always fall in the gray area. I don't believe in any absolutes. I really believe that the whole world should be looked at as a shade of gray. There's no one answer to anything. There's no one right or wrong answer. It's always somewhere in the middle. And I think if we look at more issues from the middle and from that gray area, there'd be more compromise and there wouldn't be such divisiveness. But that's not where we're at. And so what should be a scientific issue has also become a political issue. I think the planet is definitely, once again, I think you can see the data that shows that the climate on this planet is changing. We are seeing, and it's getting warmer. And people say, oh, what's 1 degree? Well, in the span of a planet, 1 degree obviously can do a lot of work. I agree with you. I would say, what the hell is the big deal with 1 degree? But then when you start to see that glaciers and parts of the North Pole are melting, when you start to see places like Lake Mead in Nevada drop so low to the point where it's almost barren to the point in Lake Mead, this huge lake outside of Las Vegas, that now as the lake is going down to almost non-existent in some parts, many skeletons are being exposed as the water goes away, because of course lakes and any body of water have been very popular dumping grounds for people that have been killed for crimes. And obviously, Las Vegas has a reputation, at the very least, of being somewhat mob-influenced over its history. And so it's not out of the realm of possibility that many of these skeletons that are suddenly being exposed were perhaps murder victims that were dumped in Lake Mead decades ago. Nobody will ever find those in the bottom of the giant Lake Mead. Well, that's the case, and it's been that way for decades until the lake starts to go down and the water starts to go away and the bottom of the lake is suddenly exposed to sunlight. There are many examples around the globe. As I said, glacial melting, the rise and the fall of huge bodies of water. There's no question that the climate on this planet is shifting. Where the debate is what's causing it. What I've always said, too, is I understand if people want to get involved in environmental issues and in recycling and things like that. And there's no doubt that America, given the 330-odd million people in this country, contribute a lot of waste and contribute a lot of use of resources. No question about that. We're definitely a consumer and a producer of waste and a consumer of resources on a large scale that certainly can impact the way nature reacts to us. But at the same time, we've got other countries like China and India with populations much bigger than ours. And they don't seem to be, they're consuming and doing just the same things we are, if not worse, but they're not curtailing their behaviors. You need a worldwide effort to really make a difference. And until the Chinese and the Indian people decide to become more environmentally aware of their behavior, things are really not going to change that much. If you've got two of the biggest polluters in the world not on board, then you're really not going to make any kind of real or vital dent in this. But I understand people want to do their share. They want to feel that they're doing something. That's fine. But the sad reality is that damn thing called reality again is until China and India get on board, it's not really going to change all that much. And probably one of the biggest impacts of climate change is not people flying in planes, is not people driving in cars. And I'm not trying to be political here on one side or the other. I'm just being very honest with you. You know what it is? As I said to you before, there's 8 billion people on this planet for the first time. This planet is reacting to us. Not even so much of some of the quote-unquote bad things we do to the environment, but just our existence. The fact that there's 8 billion people on this planet breathing and moving and living forces the planet to react in a different way. So there is one solution that nobody would certainly even think of, which is, well, just stop having kids, stop making more people, or stop healing people. We need, if one way to help the planet survive is to have less of us around. So stop healing the sick and stop making kids. Well, those are not options in our experience of life, right? People want to have kids, they want to have families, and certainly people want to have their loved ones, and we all want to live as long as we can. So there's the dilemma. We really could save the planet, but it would go against everything we hold dear in our existence. So we have to find other ways. And those other ways may contribute, but I think we're the biggest contributor to the problem. But we're not, we don't want to go anywhere. So there's no question that the climate is changing. How we deal with that, that's the bigger issue. Don't forget, most of our cities, most of where we live, you know, if a hurricane or a tornado hits in the middle of the ocean or hits in a rural area where there is absolutely no communities, nobody living there, it doesn't really spark any interest in us because it's not doing any damage. When we hear about the severity of these weather events or when they hit populated areas, well, over the last 100 years or so, or say even the last 200 and almost 50 years since we've been in America as an example, we have built our communities in areas that at the time were fairly livable places to settle in terms of the climate and in terms of the possible weather events. We have always tried to settle in areas and build cities and communities in areas that don't have as many regular, potentially catastrophic weather or natural events, right? So this way there's less destruction, less despair, less death. The problem that we're finding now is that those cities were built in those areas based on the weather patterns of 100 years ago, when there were quite a few less people on the planet, and when the weather could be relatively depended upon in terms of the seasons and how it reacted during certain times and what it did during certain times and where it struck during certain times. And so we naturally settled in places where catastrophic things, for the most part, didn't happen. But now there are established cities and towns and populations in these areas that were built on an old model, on an old nature, on an old weather model that we're seeing now as the climate is changing, are having serious impacts on now previously areas that didn't, that weren't impacted by serious weather events. So for instance, to get back to my original point, here was Chicago, a big metropolitan city, like Superman. Clark Kent, reporter for the Daily Planet, newspaper of a large American newspaper. And suddenly, we're finding severe weather hitting in populist areas where there are big cities, a lot of people. They're no longer hitting in rural areas where there's just farmland open and nobody's getting hurt and there's no destruction of property. Which brings me to my point. About a week and a half ago here in Chicago, for the first time in a long time, we had about, I think it was now July 15th was the date, so it was like a week ago, we had 11 tornadoes of varying power, and they weren't Wizard of Oz type twisters, but they were still tornadoes. They still did damage. 11 of them in the Chicago area, several of them even touching down in some ways at both Chicago airports, where you've got planes flying, as well as striking in very populist areas in the city or in the surrounding suburbs, where you never, if you've lived here for any period of time, for decades, you would never think that a tornado, you never heard of a tornado ever hitting in Chicago like this on a regular basis. But over the last couple of years, when there have been these tornado warnings and these tornado watches on the news, suddenly this line of the tornadoes are not in rural areas, are not in downstate Illinois, but they're coming right for the Chicago metropolitan area, where between the city of Chicago and the surrounding suburbs is about 11 million people. 11 million people, for the most part, never really thought of or were concerned about those tornado warnings. But here's my warning. If you live now in the Chicago metropolitan area, you better start paying attention to those tornado warnings. Because I never thought I would see it in my lifetime, but it feels like Chicago is now in Tornado Alley. Who knew? We are having more tornadoes, sightings and actual touchdowns, tornadoes, close if not in the city over the last couple of years. So there's, once again, I think that's a clear indication that something's happening atmospherically. Something's happening to the climate. These tornadoes, for the most part, are created due to a heat dome and humidity, which is climate change, which is the idea that the planet is getting warmer. We have had more violent storms. We've had more progressive heat waves than we've seen. Now, once again, when it gets to be, you know, below zero in the winter, people say, "Yeah, oh yeah, there's a real big heat wave." No, we're not talking about the weather completely changing, and you know, to the point where Chicago will now have the weather of Rio de Janeiro, and California will now have the weather of Alaska. We're not talking about that drastic. But clearly, and once again, I'm no weather expert here, but from what I've been able to read and understand is that it doesn't, on the global effect, a degree or two, one way or the other, can have a huge effect on weather patterns around the globe. And the severity of storms and how they develop, and most importantly, where they develop. They're developing in places, and they are hitting down in places that, for the most part, it was rare at best. And now, it still may be rare, but it's a little more common than it used to. I'm not saying that we are, I mean, I'm maybe exaggerating about being in Tornado Alley, of course, but what I'm saying is we've had certainly more tornadoes in the last couple of years than we've had in the last 60 or 70 years. So clearly there's a change afoot. Now, it was very interesting personally from my standpoint, because this actually happened kind of 2 days in a row. On the 14th, July 14th, there was a major storm that blew through the Chicago area that did a lot of damage, very wind gusts of 70 and 60 miles an hour. And there was a lot of debris and destruction, and especially trees. I mean, that's the thing about the trees situation, folks. We have to start, this idea that we have our electricity on poles, that's another, it seems to me, antiquated design system. Well, we'll put the electrical lines up in the sky on poles. Well, maybe 100 years ago, that was a good idea. Maybe there wasn't as much severe weather in metropolitan areas. And you know what? Maybe 100 years ago, there weren't as many trees, or maybe there weren't as many old trees that were big. But suddenly now, 100 years later, I think I've got one in my backyard. It's got to be at least close to 100. My house is 100 years old, so depending on when they planted this tree. All I'm saying is we love trees, right? They provide shade, they provide beauty, they provide nature, birds fly in them, the whole deal. I'm not debating the majesty and the beauty of trees. I've been to Muir Woods in San Francisco. It's awe-inspiring to see those sequoia trees. When we drive through a neighborhood, a shady neighborhood with trees all over, oh, this is such a nice, aesthetically, it's beautiful, it's calming. I get all that. But I don't know if we have to start thinking about how many trees do we plant around homes and around populated areas, and how many trees do we put up or replace? If we have to cut one down, do we replace them? Because all I know is around in the Chicago area, in the neighborhoods, in Chicago especially, and in the suburbs, there are a lot of suburbs, especially older ones, as I've said, where trees were planted, and they were little sprigs, and the people that planted them are long gone. 50 and 100 years ago, they're long gone. It's not their problem anymore. But now we've got some, you know, urban areas that are very wooded with trees. And as our climate changes and now more violent and destructive, potentially destructive weather is coming into urban areas, those beautiful bucolic trees that provided us with calm and shade are now lethal weapons. They can destroy property. They can destroy houses and garages and cars. They can cause accidents. You've seen the movie Twister, with everything with tornadoes. It's not so much the destructive force of the tornado itself, but the destructive force of what it causes and the debris that's hitting that does the destruction, and sometimes fatally for people. So here we are now, loaded with all these beautiful, glorious trees that shade our streets and shade our yards. And they're doing the, and now that the weather is changing, and even tornadoes in Chicago area last week, 11 reported tornadoes touching down. Those trees are major hazards now. They're beautiful. They're majestic. But now they could be dangerous and damaging. So, once again, we are so in the city, in a more urban setting, we are so very laissez-faire when you hear about tornado warnings. We're still not used to it. It's only been a couple of years where a few tornadoes have hit closer to the Chicago area. And so we've been still blasé. We've noticed a couple, but it still seemed like anomalies, not like it was a trend. And so we still haven't really taken notice for the most part. But I think after July 15th, I think more people will, because there was tremendous damage done by these various tornadoes. Apparently, the tornadoes that touched down individually weren't like powerful, you know, Wizard of Oz types of tornadoes. But apparently, if you added up all 11 of them and combined their strength, it was a Category 1 tornado. Now, once again, that's not Wizard of Oz type stuff, but it's still on the scale. And a lot of damage was done. And I saw it for myself, and I was sitting in it. So, yeah, there's a point to this story, because I've got a little story to share with you. So, once again, I had an obligation to go somewhere in the evening, and I remember seeing the weather forecast, and they said, you know, tonight, between 9 and 11 or so, expect some very severe weather. Possible tornadoes. A part of me has recognized that we have been getting a few more serious tornado sightings in the Chicagoland area, but as I said, I don't know how serious I was taking it to change my plans to go where I had to go. So I go to my, and I could, you know, I'm currently rehearsing for a play, so we had rehearsal on Monday night from 6 to 10. And suddenly, at about 8:30, about 15 people in the room, everybody's cell phone went off, because it's great. You know, the cell phone has those danger warnings that automatically go onto your phone about dangerous weather. And everybody's phone, no matter which no matter which carrier you had, they all went off at the same time. And it, you know that sound when that goes off for the weather. Just like if you have a tornado kind of alarm in your neighborhood at a school or at a municipal building, they'll often have those alarm systems there to tell people that there's some severe weather coming and perhaps to take cover, go to your basement and things like that. And all of a sudden, all of our phones went off. It's like, what the heck is that? And it said, sure enough, that, you know, there is dangerous weather approaching where you're at. And so what it seemed like when I left my house at 5 o'clock or so, the sun was out. It was a beautiful day, and the thought of a possible tornado hitting seemed so out of the realm of possibility that I didn't even really give it much thought. Because I've been, as I said, over the last several decades, I've just been attuned to the fact that, there's no tornadoes going to hit Chicago. There might be some rough winds. Okay, I'll give you that. It's the Windy City, right? But we don't get tornadoes here. We don't live in Tornado Alley. So stop scaring people. Well, sure enough, I saw on the, you know, once again, you can pull it up on your phone. I pull up the satellite, and there's this tornado system, and it's coming straight west, right in the line of Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. And so, wisely, we called off our rehearsal, and you know, people that live close enough say, well, hopefully you can make it to where you need to go before this weather hits. It's on the way. It's not here yet. We looked outside. It was the weather, the temperature dropped quite a bit. It was muggy earlier, and then the temperature dropped, so you could tell that it was getting windy. So people went their ways to get home. I, of course, was heading west into the direction that the storm was coming. It was going to the east from the west. Well, I'm heading into the west. I'm going the opposite direction. I'm not running away from the storm. I'm running into the storm. And once again, I'm not some tornado watcher. I'm not one of these guys that wants to go out and see a twister. And no. I want to stay away from serious weather. But that's where I lived, and that's where the weather was coming first. It was coming first from the west toward the east. I was already east, and I had to go back. So while I'm driving home now, I still not seeing anything, but as I look straight ahead of me, I'm not in any rain. It doesn't look, there's a lot of wind where I'm at right now, but as I continue to travel west, I look straight ahead of me and the skies are lit up with lightning. And I'm like, I am going into the eye of the storm. But this is where I live. What can I do? I got to one part of the street, and I don't know if you ever, yeah, I'm sure if you've driven at all, you may have experienced it. It's a very weird phenomenon. It's very odd. It just goes to show you how weather moves. We, once again, we see it on the news. We see it on these satellite things, but to be in it is so interesting sometimes. That's why I'm always amazed and captivated by nature. I was driving where I was, completely dry, no rain. But as I looked ahead about two or three stoplights, I could see the road ahead of me was wet. I could see the rain. I was in a dry area, but about a half a mile ahead of me, I could see cars driving with the water going off their tires. I could almost see a wall of rain where the rain was moving toward me. And I was once again confronted with the fact that I am driving straight into that. But a lot of times, you know, it's rained. You see it from far away. You say, oh, there's the rain. And a lot of times you find you put your wipers on, no big deal. Well, there's no way of gauging from that distance how heavy the rain is. I just could see that, oh, well, the rain is coming. The storm is here. But I didn't know the severity of it in terms of how windy it was or the kind of rain it was carrying with it. So I just continued my westerly drive right into that. And sure enough, within four or five blocks or so, I'm in the rain. Okay, it's raining. I put my wipers on. It's fine. Within two more blocks, it was a deluge. I had my windshield wipers on full blast, and I could not see. It was as if you were dumping just buckets of water on my windshield that the windshield could not get clear. And the wind was blowing, so that is what only gave me a little chance that for my wipers to do some work and to get it clear. But then as soon as the wind continued to blow, then it blew more rain. To the point where I could not see in front of me. I couldn't see any cars in front of me. I couldn't see the traffic lights. And so finally, I went a couple blocks and I said, well, I'm gonna crash into something. I can't see anything. So as much as I could try to see, and clearly a lot of cars had pulled over. So thankfully there wasn't a lot of traffic to have to deal with other cars, because this weather was just, it came from nowhere so quickly and so intense and so aggressive. And so I was able to pull over safely. On even though it was a major street, I pulled over to the side and I said, well, I'll just have to wait this out for a while because I it's impossible to drive. I can't continue to pretend like I can do this. And I was right next to, across the street, across the two-lane major street, there was a gas station. And it was, as most gas stations are, very well lit. And on the other side of me was kind of an open field. There was a like a football field. So I was happy to see that there wasn't any potential stuff that could fly and hit me from that side. But I did notice on the other side, I mean, if the wind is blowing like this, it's the debris, once again, that's the danger. I am looking right across the street, and there's a tree right there. And I'm like, but I really had no other place to go. So I'm hoping that nothing will hit my car flying. But I certainly was a potential to do that. Because of the light being beamed off of all, you know, all the big bright lights off of the gas station, I could see the rain falling. It was illuminated by these huge lights. And I could see that the rain was not falling down. It was circular. Now, I'm not saying that I was in a hurricane. I'm not saying that, or in a cyclone. I'm not saying that. But clearly, there was some curvature to the wind where I was in the city, northwest side of Chicago. And it was violent, and the trees around me were blowing and bending. And as I said, as I looked at that, I saw this wind circular. Now, I'm not saying I was in a tornado. It doesn't say that the one touched down. I wasn't in that. But clearly, this was very aggressive wind and rain, like I had not seen in a long, long, long time. And I sat there for about 15 minutes, and it finally slowed a little, not a lot, but a little. As I looked, once again, I was just kind of watching the rain and how it was falling and how it was blowing, and it seemed that curvature, that curving wind had stopped, and now the rain was falling a lot more straight down. Still raining hard, not as hard as before, still raining hard, but not rain that I hadn't been driven in before. So I felt like, okay, because it seemed like it was a very fast-moving storm, so I felt, well, maybe it has passed me. So, still raining, though, and it's raining hard, just maybe not in this kind of tornado-ish effect. And so now I'm making my way down another main street, but more of a, it's a popular street, two lanes, but also very, but not surrounded by businesses, but more like neighborhoods, like the bungalow belt. You know what I'm talking about? The small little bungalows. A lot of trees. Once again, we love our trees. The bungalow belt on the northwest side and southwest, in the south side of Chicago, you know, that was those communities were built to be the idyllic, you know, American dream neighborhood. So you had the nice little house with the nice little front yard, and you also, of course, had a couple of trees in front. Well, as I said, that was great in 1930 or 1940 or 1950, but 60 or 70 years ago, those trees are 70 years old, and they're huge and they're big, and we now have dangerous weather coming along, and those things are weapons. I drive about two blocks from where I stopped the car, and I have to slam on the brakes, because as I get closer, I notice there is a huge tree completely blocking the road. No way around it. Had to have hit the cars that were parked there on the side, as once again, it's a neighborhood street. Completely crossing the two-lane street. So I back up and go down another street and still continue now, trying to go in the direction toward home. I'm only about 15 minutes away. And I turn down another side street, and boom, there's another tree down in front of the road. I have to turn around and go find another street. And as I'm driving down these streets, it's still raining. You could see that water is accumulating on the streets. It's still raining hard. It's not a tornado thing, but now it's just a real strong rain. And what's even more dangerous is as the wind came through here, if it didn't knock down trees or big limbs on the sides of the sidewalk or by the houses, or as I said, completely across the street, barricading the street, blocking it off, there were several smaller branches of debris strewn everywhere, all over the street, all over the sidewalks. So there were branches sticking up. So I still had to be very careful as I drove as to not run over any big potential sticks or branches that were sticking up. Not even just like big limbs, but some even small little branches, several of them all sticking up could still do damage to your car in one way, whether it's scratching your car or potentially puncturing your tire. So needless to say, I had to go through quite a few detours because there was quite a few streets that were either completely blocked, or if they weren't completely blocked, there were huge limbs that were down. We had to drive along the side, around the tree to get through. Finally got home, and by the time I got home, it was a drizzle. So clearly the storm had passed. But I was talking to my wife as I was driving, and I said, so, you know, at the time before it was raining, where I was initially as I head home, I said, well, there's no rain by me. And she said, well, there's no rain. Well, and she said, there's no rain, but the alarms are going off on our phone. The alarms are going off by the school near us. And so my wife took our cat into the basement. She's like, you know, there's alarms going off here. I'm going to rather be safe than sorry. And I said, that's fine. I wonder if I would have done that at home, because once again, I still have this kind of attitude like, there's no tornadoes here. Well, I've got to change that attitude. But thankfully, we didn't have any damage at our house and everything was fine. However, when we woke up the next morning to sort of assess things, no doubt, I said, we've got a lot of trees in the front and the back. A lot of debris of the trees all over the place with branches, small little branches, nothing huge, no big limbs, no big branches that had a lot of leaves, but just small little kind of, you know, branches that would fall off, small ones with a few little leaves, but they're strewn everywhere. And then we looked to our next door neighbor, and they had a huge... They have a big tree in their yard. As I said, we've got older community. Oh, you have to have these beautiful trees. Yeah, they provide a beautiful aesthetic, but they are today, in today's world, with today's unstable weather, they provide danger. And there was a huge limb, not just a branch, a huge, thick, round limb that cracked off that tree and went down. And it was laying in their yard. Thankfully, it did not hit their house, but it was near their garage. And unfortunately, they keep their car outside of the garage. I'm not sure why, a lot of times. And it sounds like it did scratch. It didn't destroy the car, thankfully, but it did scratch it. And it was a huge, huge limb. And so my wife didn't really hear it crack, but she said, you know, there's a lot of thunder going on, so who knows? So who knows if the wind did it, if it was lightning, I don't know. But that was a very big limb of that tree that was gone. So I don't know if it was lightning or if it was wind, then my gosh, there must have been some heavy winds here, because for that thing to crack, it was no small limb of that tree. So I never thought that I lived, living in Chicago, I never thought that I lived in Tornado Alley. But I am learning a lesson. You're never too old to learn something, and tonight I learned something. Honeymooner fans will recognize that line. But it's true. Never too old to learn something. And tonight, I learned something. And after that storm, I learned that, and then the next day, hearing these reports that, you know, there were 11 tornadoes that touched down in the Chicago area, both airports. In some areas, one touched down and did some damage, probably, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 miles from our house. Did some major damage. Tornado touched down about 3 or 4 miles from our house in a very urban area. So I have to rethink my concern level now. When I hear about tornado warnings, I'm not just going to assume that they are somewhere downstate in some rural area that has nothing to do with me. When I hear the boop, boop, boop on the TV or my cell phone goes off and it says tornado watch or tornado warning, I'm going to read that crawl from now on. I'm going to pay attention to that. Because clearly, all those conceptions, all those realities of the type of weather that we would encounter where we live is changing. And you can't be laissez-faire about it anymore. You can't just say, oh, it's not going to happen to me because it's here. You can debate how or why the climate is changing, why our weather is changing. You can debate it politically. You can debate it scientifically. But what you can't debate is that it's happening. And so strip aside all the politics, strip aside whatever biases you have, but for your own safety, for your own well-being, for your property and for yourself and your family, it's not good sense to just blow off those weather reports anymore, wherever you live. Because whatever you're used to, the weather that you used to have for most of your life, if you lived in one place for a while, you can't follow those rules anymore. Mother Nature is changing, and we have to change with it. At the very least, we just have to be more aware of it. So Chicago has always been the Windy City, but now apparently Chicago is Tornado Alley. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 426. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears.